Hallelujah. Well, glory. If you have your Bibles this morning, go to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John this morning, chapter 6, if you would, please. Wrestling over which way to go with the message this morning, I feel I have the mind of the Lord this morning, and it's going to be a good time in God's Word. Amen. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, at verse 41, we'll begin there. I hear pages turning. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 41. Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Well, then how is it then that he says, 'I came down from heaven'?" And Jesus therefore answered, and he said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. For no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. As it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and that hath learned of the Father comes unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. But verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness, and they are dead. But this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that if a man may eat thereof and not die. I am that living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the whole world." What's he talking about here? He says, "I'm a sin offering." The life that he gave as a sin offering on the cross. Understand it. That's where Jesus is going with his message. "I'm the living bread. I came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh." I could paraphrase it as an offering for sin. That's where he's going with this. "Which I will give for the life of the whole world." And then the Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, saying, "Well, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And then Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, Except you eat of the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. And he that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Wow, that's powerful. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ is not talking about cannibalism. He's not even talking about Holy Communion, as it's taught in some circles today. He's talking about the same way that when you and I eat lunch an hour from now, whatever we're eating has been harvested, has been put to death, that it can give you life. Amen? Amen. Yesterday we had some grilled chicken. It was grilled dead chicken. Amen. Amen. The boys had a hamburger. That's dead beef. It's beef, but it's dead. Amen. You get the point. Before it can bring nutrition and nourishment, it has to die, that it can provide nourishment to who's ever partaking of. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He that comes to me must totally embrace me. Look to my blood sacrifice for their personal condition of personal sin. Amen. And drink of my blood, which means that every day live from the life that I provide by my Spirit. Amen? That's really what he's saying. And if we would read on further, they thought this man is nuts. He's crazy. He's talking about cannibalism. But Jesus goes on to say, he said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Does this offend you?" You see? And it says from that time, it was a hard saying. They couldn't digest it. And it says, from that time, many of his disciples followed him no more. Isn't it amazing? The closer we get to the cross, the fewer there are that want to follow Jesus Christ. And where does Jesus take the believer? Where does he take his listeners? Right to the cross. Amen? This is going to be your source of life. Now go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2 and verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, listen to this now, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And needed not that any man should testify man, for he knew what was in man. Look at that in verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew what was in their heart. He knew what was in man. The message this morning, if I could give it a little title, Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus, the bread of life. Let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, again, we are so thankful for those that have gathered in your name. I count it an honor to stand behind the sacred desk, Lord, to bring forth the Word of God. Anoint me to bring forth the Word as the oracles of God today. Anoint the preacher, the voice of the preacher. And Lord, bless us, O God, with your Word and with truth that will encourage us, strengthen us, and make us free. Father, this morning we pray for the children's church to have their portion. Those that are watching live stream, bless them and give them their portion in Christ this morning. And wherever this message goes on CD or DVD, bless it, anoint it from heaven, Lord, that it can produce and bring forth fruit. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. In our text this morning, Jesus, speaking to a multitude, is trying to bring his hearers, those to which he was bringing, how can I say, he was trying to bring his messiahship to Israel, to the chosen people of God, the ones that should have understood that he was the one spoke of from the foundation of the world. This is their long-awaited Messiah. And as the power of God rested on Christ, and let me qualify, when Jesus did miracles, he didn't do miracles as God. He did it and did everything with the power of God that resided on him as a man. Jesus was 100% God, but he was 100% man. And Jesus, in his earthly ministry, performed that ministry as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. But in the message and in the discourse of what he was trying to bring to those people, as we do today in every generation that preaches the gospel, he was trying to bring the validity of his sacrifice that he was yet to accomplish on Calvary's cross. In other words, Jesus was trying to say, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate this in the wilderness. They are dead, but I've come to give you life that you've never had before. And if you partake of this bread, you will live eternally. You will have life. You will have resurrection life, abundant life. Amen. And if you learn to eat from me, I will provide your every need, take care of your salvation, provide your justification, your sanctification, give you hope in a future. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, the promises in Christ are endless. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's the good news, and that's what he was trying to bring to that people. But as, like today, we don't hear what he's trying to say. We misunderstand and we misinterpret the gospel today. Amen? And so Jesus trying to bring out, I am the bread of life. He's not saying that I'm just one of many. I'm not on a grocery store shelf where you can walk through and maybe take a little of this, a little of that. You can have a little of me, but all this other stuff. No, I am the only source of life. If you eat from me, drink my blood, spiritually speaking, you will live forever. In other words, he's saying there's no hope, no help, no salvation in any other name. Amen. Jesus Christ is where we're to put our faith. And we are to live from him. And we are to drink of his blood, spiritually speaking. In other words, be in communion with him and have interaction and dialogue with God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Think about that for a moment. Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the bread of life. In John 2, why did we read that? In John 6, they were fed. He took care of a need. And he was sorting out, sifting out the motives of men's hearts. He would say in that dialogue, if you read John 6, you're really following me because you were fed. Because I met a physical need in your life. Oh, let's follow Jesus. He took care of a need of mine. Amen? And he will do that. In John chapter 2, he said, you're following me because you saw a display of the power of God. You saw some miracles. And so now you're following me. Yeah, you believe on my name. But Jesus himself said he did not commit himself unto all men because he still knew what was in that heart. Amen? It's a nice way of saying just because somebody says, I believe on Jesus, or I go to church, or I'm part of a denomination, or I have a religious belief, it doesn't mean just because in our mental assent we've accepted him, it doesn't mean he's accepted us. Amen. You know, it's easy to believe on Christ when your heart has been conquered by him. But when we come to him on a religious platform, amen, or come to him with a wrong motive, then many times the evidence is not there that he's received us. The evidence he's received you and I is the new heart and the new spirit. Are we born again? Amen. That's evidence that he has come in to abide in my heart. Amen. You see, when I was 15 years old, I rejected the gospel message. My life went into a tailspin of sin for 10 long years. But at the age of 25, when God had humbled me and brought me low, now I was ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart as Lord and Savior. Amen? And at that time, he came in, and I was born again in a moment of time. I was saved from my sin. I was washed. I had a new heart, a new spirit. It was the evidence that Christ accepted me. Because I came to him, like the old song says, just as I am. And I didn't need a meal. I didn't need to see a display of his power. I needed a Savior. I needed a Redeemer. I needed one who would love me and save me from my original condition of original sin. That's what I needed. Amen? Hallelujah. You see, and that's the message people got to hear again. Jesus is the bread of life, but we got to come to him on his terms. We don't add Jesus to what we are. We come to him on the platform of repentant faith. We look to him, no merit on our part. We receive him into our heart by faith. The evidence he has come in and accepted us is that he's given us a new heart and a new spirit. I'm trying to chop the tree down, but the axe is bouncing back at me here this morning. Amen. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if he has accepted you, there's a new heart. Now that's what the Bible tells me. That's what I've experienced. And friend, when you've experienced the new birth, nobody can talk you out of it. And the first one that's going to know about it is you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go through this. Oh, hallelujah. You see, God's redemptive plan for man requires every man's personal surrender. Amen. When Jesus is saying, lest ye eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, he's not playing with words. He's letting you know that if you come to me, you to get all of me, I got to have all of you. Amen? 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 Amen. They saw the miracles. They came to him. They believed in his name. He couldn't receive them because he knew what was in man. They weren't quite on the right foundation. But Jesus Christ, God's redemptive plan, and there's only one plan of God, requires that man, as he comes to Jesus as a sinner, comes completely needing and dependent upon what God provides in God's redemption plan. Amen? That I surrender my life. Hello. Hallelujah. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him, I freely give. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm here to say God wants all of you, all of your heart, or He will have none of you. Amen. Well, what do you mean? You mean, no, until you are ready for a full surrender to Jesus Christ. Listen, coming to Jesus is like coming to a marriage. You come with the expectation that this union is for life. It is forever till death do we part. That is the way we come to Jesus Christ. Today, well, we enter into this until maybe somebody better comes along or circumstances change a little bit. Amen? And we break the covenant and we go our way. We try it again. And that's what people do with religion. I'll try this church. I'll try this church. I'll try that gospel. I'll try this teaching. You know, can we just flush that all down the commode? Just come to Jesus. Come to the one who paid the sin debt on your behalf. Come to Him. But give all of your heart to Him. All of your heart. All of your heart. That's what He's saying. God's redemptive plan requires every man's personal surrender. It all begins with a surrender of the life and one's will. Amen. Amen. Well, I can't do that. Well, then Jesus knew all men and He's not committed Himself to you. Maybe you're here today, maybe this, wherever this, maybe everybody's fine here. I hope you are. But maybe there's that one where the CD or this DVD will go. You've dabbled with Christ, you've played games with God, but your heart's not fully there. You've never really abandoned yourself to Him, you've toyed with it. You've been double-minded, double-hearted, half-hearted. You thought, I'll give this a try. I'll see where this goes. Amen? And guess what happens? Everything goes wrong in your life. And you wonder, where's the blessing of the Lord in my life? I thought this is supposed to work. Jesus can't commit Himself to a half-hearted individual. Now, let me qualify something. He will draw that life, continuously try to woo that heart to a full surrender. Amen. He doesn't kick us to the moon or none of us would be saved. He still died for the ungodly. When you and I were yet sinners, He died for us. So we're not questioning God's love for man, God's love for the individual, for you, and for the transgressor. We're not questioning and putting that on trial today. But what we are talking about, has He received you? Have you fully given your heart to Jesus? Have you abandoned yourself and your will? They come to Him. He fed them. Hey, we're going to follow this guy. He takes care of us, man. We get free lunch with this guy. The other group He's talking about, wow, we saw power. We saw the miracles. Man, this guy's got the great, he must be the great power of God. Let's follow Him because the power is there. I love the power of God. I love to see the miracles of God. But we don't follow power. We don't follow miracles. We follow a person, a Savior, by the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Who shed His blood for our redemption and for our sanctification. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ will deal with our heart, ever bringing us to that full surrender, especially of our will. Jesus would say it this way, you're calling me Lord, but you don't do the things I say. I want to say that again. You call me Lord, but you don't do the things I ask of you in my word. Today, we add Jesus to what we are. We say we've surrendered our life to Him, but our will proves otherwise, that we still go out and do what we want to do. And we ignore the Word of God. That's what Jesus was talking about. Amen. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men. That's powerful. So it begins, my friend, with a surrendered life and your will. It's pictured in Cain and Abel. The first two children born outside of Eden, born from corrupted parents, original sin in their heart, and it's evident that God had established with them the sacrificial system, God's redemptive plan, even in the garden, because a time came for them to offer sacrifice. God was so fair to Adam and Eve, so loved them. No, they couldn't remain in Eden. They could not live in the paradise of God. When you and I choose sin and rebellion and we hop over God's word, your life will be lived outside of Eden where the briars and the thorns and the thistles are. You watch that life. You hop over God's word, you hop over Jesus Christ, you go do your thing, guess what? You're hopping into the thistle patch, my friend. Amen. That's all that's out there. But God said, I'll make a way for you. And he established a sacrificial system. Abel says, yeah, I'm corrupted. I believe what God says about us. I need a sacrifice. And that sacrifice is my redemption. I'll offer it up. So the time came. He brings a little first thing of the flock. He offers it up. And guess what? God accepts him. Oh, isn't that hard? Isn't that difficult? No, it is so simple. It's as easy as it was then, it's actually easier now. We don't have to offer up the lamb and go through the ritual. We just believe in the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world, in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we offer up every day as you believe in Christ and the finished work. It's like continuously the sacrifice of Christ being offered up in the mind of God on your behalf that keeps you justified, sanctified, and clean. Amen? But you see, you got Cain now. Cain, he's of a different, he's a corrupted stock too. He's a sinner. And he says, I'm going to change this a little bit. I don't like offering up that lamb. I don't want bloody hands. I don't want to offer up that poor little thing. That thing has done nothing wrong. Now you're starting to get it, Cain. It represents you. And it represents Jesus Christ, who would die that you have more value than an animal. But that blood shed is a type of what God's Son is going to do 4,000 years from now. And I need the human race to see that picture story in every generation. Amen? And so Cain says, forget it. And he brought his basket of fruit, the basket of what he produced, handed it to God, put it on the altar of God. God said, I can't accept that. Jesus couldn't commit himself unto all men because he knew what was in man. And God communicated with Cain and said, I can't accept you and I can't accept that. But if you go to the door, the lamb is offering, the sin offering is there, bring it in, offer it up, and you be accepted. It's that easy. And he said, no. We got a brother by the name of Abel, fully justified by the slain lamb. Listen. This is thought is in my spirit. All through the thousands of years of Israel's history, they offered up that little bullock, that lamb, that turtle dove, whatever it be, but blood was shed, right? Do you realize that as that little animal was brought before the priest, and the Bible says they were to do an inspection, and they inspected that sacrifice. They looked for any blemish. It had to be the firstling. It had to be pure. It had to be without tarnish, without scarring, it had to be perfect. And the priest would look that over, and the man would offer it, and the priest would go through the ritual, and the man would walk out justified, at least for another year until he had to come and make sacrifice again. The point I'm trying to make, God did not inspect the man who brought the sacrifice. God inspected the offering. What am I telling you today? When your faith is in Jesus Christ, God is inspecting the righteousness of His Son, not you. Hallelujah. You by faith brought what you couldn't do in yourself. God inspects the sacrifice. And if the sacrifice is accepted, you are accepted. Hallelujah. You see, it's the same way today. What I have faith in, where I have put my trust, if I'm eating from the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ, if I believe on Him and His shed blood, God sees the righteousness of His Son. I'm the joint heir of that righteousness. I'm fully accepted. Tarnished stains, all the hang-ups I have, I'm fully accepted because by faith I brought the right sacrifice. Hallelujah. So sin don't matter, Pastor? Oh, it matters. Amen. In fact, when you get the new heart, that new heart doesn't like the old life no more. Amen. Hallelujah. Has he accepted you? It's not whether he'll accept you, but what offering are you bringing? Abel's or Cain's? And you got to bring it with a surrendered heart and a surrendered will. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a Selah moment. You read in the Psalms, you read something and say Selah. It means pause here and think about this a minute. Amen. I'm here to say, if you accept Jesus Christ on the biblical platform of faith and repentance towards God, and you receive him into your heart, and you are willing to abandon your heart, your life, and your will, and you're laying it all at his lap, upon the sincerity of your heart, Jesus Christ will come into your heart. God will accept him as your sacrifice. And God the Father will continually be looking at his Son on your behalf until we're brought into eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, that's good news for us this morning. We got so many people, but I got habits. I still smoke, I still chew, I still drink, I still curse a little bit, I still got things in my heart that aren't right, and I can't come to God yet. I got to get this all cleaned up. You don't take a shower before you get in the bathtub, or you don't get in the bathtub before you take a shower. You come as you are. Let him be your provision of righteousness and everything you need. Let him be the bread of life for you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And he'll accept you. Because you came to him biblically. So what does he want? God's redemptive plan for man requires every man's personal surrender. It begins with a surrender of the life and of the will. Even Abraham was called by God out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham would have to surrender his father's house, his kindred, and his country to go to a land that God showed him he had to go to. See, that's a picture that when you've come to God on God's terms, there will be an exodus out of that old life. Amen? I tell you 1,000 times, 1984, I was saved off a bar stool. At about 10:30 that night, I went back home, sick of my life, sick of everything, and I repented that night into my pillow, cried myself way through to Calvary, and when I woke up with a brand new heart and spirit, I never went back to the tavern, I never wanted alcohol, I had a brand new heart, a brand new spirit, hallelujah, a lot of other things God had to clean up in me, but the obvious was dealt with. Hallelujah. The new heart, the new spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Today's most churches, motivational messages. If you show up at church, well, they must be Christian. They came to church. I pull in my car with my garage, or in my garage with my car. Don't make me a car. Amen. I'm not a car. A car is a car. A sinner is a sinner. A saint is a saint. Amen. We come to Jesus, we surrender our life, and then there's a willingness to follow him.
Amen.
A willingness to follow Jesus. Because I've surrendered my heart, and I've surrendered my will, and I've surrendered my life to follow him. Not man, but him. 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 Hallelujah. In the Gospels, we see Peter, James, and John. Jesus said unto them, come and follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And if you read some of those Gospels, they left dad in the boat with the hired servants, and they just washed their hands and went and followed him. That's crazy. Most of you, if your dad had the family business and you walked off the job following some guy that said, I'm the Messiah, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Dad would have some words with us. Wouldn't he? Come on. When he calls, and when he has come in, there's a willingness to follow him. There's a willingness to follow Jesus. I said Jesus. There's a desire to follow him. To follow him. To follow him. To do his will. To do what he wants me to do. Amen. Peter, James, and John, come, follow me, and I'm going to make you become fishers of men. Now, he didn't tell that to everybody. I think of the man of Gadara, who 2,000 demons cast out, 2,000 pig ran over the hill off of the brink of the cliff. They were drowned. It was a major, major deal. And here this man who was naked, cutting themselves in the tombs. He had a suicidal spirit. They tried chaining him up. He'd break the chains, full of devils. Jesus, one encounter with Jesus, put that man in his right mind, clothed him, and they found him sitting. Amen? That's what this Jesus will do for you. Amen. But the man said when they were going to leave, oh, can I go with you? Can I go with you? And Jesus said, no, you stay here and you tell all the people that know you all the good things God had done for you. Amen. But there was still a willingness to follow him. Do you know many believers today get up every morning and could care less what God wants for them today? They don't even acknowledge him hardly. They never get up with that understanding that I am bought with a price. I belong to him. Lord, what would you have me do today? Can you plan my day for me? Can you lead me in your will? When I go to work today, give me grace to work and be a good employee and to be productive. Give me a good mind to work with. And you know, but Lord, I'm open to your voice. Let me hear your voice calling me. You see, that willingness is there. That willingness. Well, he doesn't talk to me. He don't tell me what to do. Then you stay at what you're doing until he says, come or go, right? It's not so hard. So, James and John, they heard the voice, come and follow me. And then look at Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. He surrendered his life on the road to Damascus and became the greatest example of Christianity to date. Amen? Saul of Tarsus had hatred for Christians. One encounter with Jesus is all it took. Amen? That's all we need. One encounter with Jesus Christ is all it takes. Amen? But we must surrender. Surrender to him, to his lordship, to his will. Amen? So my friend, God's redemptive plan requires every man's personal surrender. And we must understand that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. That's why he said, unless you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Amen? That's why when they followed him, because they saw a display of his power, he did not commit himself unto them because he knew their hearts. They weren't repentant towards him yet. They were going to follow him for the wrong motives. But at least they were trying to come to Jesus. Through Jesus Christ. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man. One way to heaven. One way to salvation. Amen? Amen? One way through the Son of God. Through Jesus Christ. And the only way to Jesus Christ is through the cross. That's why that group in John 6, I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am that bread which was typified in the manna that your fathers ate in the wilderness and today are dead. I am that bread of life. And if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you will live forever. See? Amen? Amen? Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. You better live for me. You draw your nourishment from me. I'm your source of life. I'm everything to you. That's what Christ was saying to that people. Amen? 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 One way to God. One way to God. One way to God the Father. We even read it that no man can come unto the Father but by the Spirit that draw him. And the Spirit will always take us through the cross, through the blood, to Jesus Christ. Amen? The only way to God is through Jesus Christ, one mediator between God and man. The only way to Jesus Christ is through the cross. We got to come through the blood. And the only way to the cross is through a full denial of oneself, a full surrender. Do you realize today what's going on in our society, all these police shootings happening? Why are the police on trial for doing their job? And then the powers that be are trying to make it a race war. It's not, my friend, a race war. Per se. The problem is, as men, when they are pulled over or confronted, are not surrendering to the legal authorities. Amen. Yes or no? Amen. They're not, I don't care what color they are. This is a colorless thing. It happens to the white. It happens to Latinos. It happens to our black friends. It happens to all races. But when they're pulled over, you know what they're doing? They're not wanting to surrender. And then the full brunt of the law comes out. When they got to be taken down violently. Or if there's a skirmish and they lose their life. You know what the big issue is? They won't surrender. They won't surrender. They won't surrender. You're starting to listen. They won't surrender. What's the problem in the church today? We won't surrender. We won't surrender. We won't surrender. And you know what you hear? Well, that's your version, preacher. That's your version, church. That's just what Promised Land teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches. My Bible says, my church says, my pastor, my preach, my whoever will. Amen? And preachers don't preach the gospel today because they want a following. And they want money and fame. And they want $10 million buildings. Amen? That's what they want. They want to be on the New York Times bestseller list today. And so we encourage everybody in a false way to try to puff up their ego. Listen, Adam, the old Adam and you must die. The old you and me must be taken to the cross. I can't be saved unless God in Christ takes me to the tree. And I must be crucified with Him. And buried with Him. But the good news is I'll be raised with Him into a brand new life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the problem. We've not been to the cross. Unless you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, you're not saved. That's what He's really saying. That's what He's saying. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Hallelujah. Oh, what's the next verse? Teach me, Lord, how to live. Oh, I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. You know why you're miserable? You haven't surrendered to the One who wants to give you His life. As long as you're alive, He's not gonna do a tug of war for the throne of your heart. He'll wait till you're tired of that old you. Amen. Because He's a jealous God. Amen. He's jealous over you. But He wants your heart. He wants all of you. He wants you to surrender your life and your will to Him. Well, Pastor, you don't know what that means. Well, you better get it right, because probation for heaven is this life. And as long as you and I are playing games with God, trying to put off the day of reckoning, trying to put off till tomorrow what God is dealing with me to do today. Amen. Dude, don't you realize? Jesus said, if you come to Him scripturally and you believe on Him, that's where you will find your life. You will find your life in Him. Amen. Amen. I was told not long ago, a family member said, everything was cool in our family till this God stuff started getting in there. Yeah, you're right. Jesus said a man's foes will be of his own house. Salvation is so life-changing in an individual, what you used to have for friends might not like you no more. Listen, I used to have a good plethora of friends, but when I got saved, they little by little, they all kind of went their way, amen? They all thought I was on this religious kick. My family thought I was on a religious kick. But it's been 30-some years, amen? Amen. That's a long time to be on a kick, amen? But I love every minute of it, my friend. Amen. Because I'm preaching from my experience in Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you about him as one who has heard about him. Like Job, I can say, now that he's humbled me, I know him by the seeing of my eye, by the hearing of my eye. I know him from experience. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Where do I go with this now? God has a redemptive plan for men, but it requires your my surrender of our heart, our life, and our will. Upon that surrender, there will be a desire to follow him. Wherever he leads me, I want to go. You know, I've shared this years ago. My heart was to start a church in Fond du Lac. It's always been my heartthrob. If he would tell me tomorrow, go to Fond du Lac, sorry, folks, I'm going to Fond du Lac. But he hasn't told me that yet. Amen. And I'm thinking, Watertown, Watertown, Watertown. Elizabeth goes, Watertown, Watertown. I grew up here. This is all, man, you know, is there some other place we could go? You know? Amen. But God knows what he's doing. As I look around, I think God knows what he's doing. Amen? But it's his will. I didn't plan this. Elizabeth didn't plan this. You and I didn't sit in a church board meeting one time and said, let's start a church and buy this building and make it happen. And do you realize, we always say we're a small church in a big building. We got this building almost half paid off already with a few people. All right? It's a beautiful building. It's a roomy building. And guess what? It's only going to get betterer and betterer and betterer as time goes on. I'm here to say. But it comes because somebody has surrendered their life and their will and their future into the hands of Jesus Christ. There's been many toils and stairs. There's been many hardships. Hallelujah. There's been many griefs along the way. But thank God, we stayed true. And we stayed on course. And the better half has not yet been told. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross daily. Let him follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself and be cast away? He would not commit himself unto all men because he knew them. See, every day we take up our cross. That's not your sufferings. That's not your hardships. The cross is the bread of life. I take up my position in Christ. I look every day to that foundation that I live my life on, the foundation of his shed blood for me. I look to his sacrifice that God is inspecting Jesus more than he's inspecting me. Because he is my sacrifice, my provision of righteousness. My part is to be consecrated to the plan, to the process. I am to daily yield my will into his hand and into his lap. And I am to acknowledge him in my comings and my goings. I am to seek his leading and ask him to show me the way. And the way he'd have me go in this life. And he will reveal it moment by moment, step by step, here a little, there a little. And one day, if you can just hang on with Jesus, everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah. 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 I got 3 pages of notes there, but I feel the Lord, and I'm going to ask musicians if we come again. Have we had a full surrender to Jesus Christ? Do you understand what that means to eat of his flesh and to drink of his blood? That he's talking about your daily feeding upon Jesus Christ in your relationship with him and to him. And that all he asks of us is just an abandonment into his hands. My emotions, my will, my future, everything I have, everything I do, My family, my children, my marriage, everything I have belongs to Him. And He has promised, I will find my life. I have found it, and I'm still discovering the good things God hath for us because we love Him. We love Him. Amen. We love Him.